Welcome to Township's Daily News Bits.
With Holly Bailey
and Jim Ferrier, bringing you the news and events that matter to townshipers.
Thanks to the Local Journalism Initiative funded by the Government of Canada.
I'm Holly Bailey here on 99.1. This episode is a tribute and a memoir as we remember an exceptional human being, namely Alexander Kennedy Patterson, who passed on August 6, 2025, at the age of 93. He led a full life, was adored, respected, and honored in many ways, including having been awarded the Order of Canada in 1982, the Ordre National du Québec in 1993, and the Order of Montreal in 1998. As well as having earned several honorary degrees. He was an accomplished barrister who pleaded before all courts of Quebec, the Supreme Court of Canada, parliamentary commissions, and administrative tribunals. On top of all of this, he was a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a dedicated listener and friend, a fundraiser, and a community-oriented man who really changed the lives of those who knew him and who had the privilege to work with him. We remember Alexander Kennedy Patterson, a.k.a. AKP, with special friends Reverend Tim Weeb and Joseph Singerman. Thank you for sharing this space and time with us. So we're here to remember and celebrate a monumental man. And I unfortunately didn't have the opportunity to know him, but I'm learning with each conversation and memory shared just how exceptional he was. So thank you for joining me for this memoir and tribute to Alexander Kennedy Patterson, who passed on August 6, 2025, at the age of 93. So we have Joe Singerman with us here today and Reverend Tim Weeb. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
And we're sitting here in the well-loved St. Paul's Church in Knowlton, where there was a celebration of life for Alex, as he was commonly known, on June 29th, 2026. So can you give us a sense of what his connection was with your church here, Reverend Tim Weeb?
Yeah. Well, Alex, I'm not sure how long he lived in Knowlton, but he and Joni lived here for many years. They came often on weekends, and so he would come to our 8 o'clock service, which is the traditional service, and he and Joni always together, and Joni, his wife, they were a wonderful pair. It didn't matter if it was a terrible sermon, she would say how much she loved it, and she would always be so positive. And the two of them were just, you know, just wonderful people. And then following the service, there would be a group of the 8 o'clockers who would go out for breakfast.
Oh, this I heard about the coffee hour.
Well, yes, they would go to the Sapin or Star Cafe back in the day. And to quote Skip Eamon, Alec would kind of hold fort. He was, it's funny, he would always tell stories and he would always be sure to include everybody. But you knew he was, not in a difficult way, but he was always the guy that was kind of in charge.
Okay.
In a good way.
But welcoming is
absolutely
what I'm seeing. And yeah, inclusive and lovely and warm.
Very, yep.
Very. What an exceptional gentleman, and his wife Joni, I believe, of 67 years.
That's right.
And we've lost them both, but their legacy and memory is very much alive. And this celebration of life, I believe you were here for it as well, Joe.
It was an amazing event. It brought back so many fond memories. I have to say on the onset that when my parents died, first of all, Alex and Joni, always a couple, Joni was always at Christmas time leaving me lemon bread and banana loaf in my post office box on the corner of the road, and with a few other things, and always thinking of me, and I was always thinking of them, trying to do them favors as neighbors. But I met Alex way before I became his neighbor. It was just by accident in discussions that I discovered that he lived one house from
no way
down the road from me. But I met him when I was working as a senior reporter at CTV Montreal. And this was during heady days under Pierre Trudeau, the first referendum, the second referendum, and the OCA crisis. And I'll try to mention each one. Mm-hmm. I met Alec predominantly when he was fundraising as a corporate lawyer representing all of Montreal's hospitals, the Children's, the Royal Vic, the General. He was representing the hospital. He was the hospital's lawyer. Prior to that, he was a maritime lawyer, so he represented the shipping industry. And a long, long career. Even after he retired, he worked for 15, 17 years, walking to his law firm every day, even in winter storms and hail and snow and icy rain, to mentor the young lawyers and to act as a counsel to even the established lawyers at the firm, which later became Borden, Ladner, Gervais. Well, I met him when he was raising money for the Montreal Children's Hospital. One of his pet projects and his love was the Mackay Center.
Yes.
His father had been handicapped and lost his leg during the First World War, and he saw the effects how handicapped people were treated. So he was very involved with young children, especially those coming from South America or Central America who had been maimed or had serious accidents or had infirmities handicaps caused by birth. And so he worked tirelessly for over 30 years raising money for the Mackay Center. He went to read books. He believed in literacy, and he read stories to the young children from the young grades to the elementary schools around Montreal, Westmount, and especially at the Mackay Center. I remember one occasion where we had chartered with the help of Air Canada, two jets to fly to Maryland, to Baltimore, which was the headquarters, or at the time it was where the Shriners International was having their annual convention. And there was talk in Montreal about closing the Shriners Hospital for Children. And Alec and his friends, and the hospital administrator, said, well, we can't have this happen, but they were looking to reduce costs. And Canada was really not on their map. So Alec decided, well, we got to do something. Unbeknownst to them, we had chartered two Air Canada jets. Air Canada was very, very lovely. They charged us only $100 per passenger. And we flew down to Maryland. I brought a friend's daughter, a young child, and everybody brought their children. And we were staging a demonstration with big banners. You don't close our hospital. Montreal needs their Shriners. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, years later, they finally built a brand new hospital, double the size of the former Shriners Hospital, which needed repair, right beside the new MUHC and the Montreal University Health Center. And Alex was not only fundraising for the main hospital campus, but for the Shriners Hospital. Another fundraiser he was involved in, and I was intimately involved because he would call me weekly to see if I was coming with my camera crew. This was a pedal for kids. He raised over $4 million, getting other law firms, all the law firms in Montreal, to pedal for kids. And people would sponsor somebody and they would raise money. And they would close down downtown Montreal, De Maisonneuve, down Atwater, back down St. Catherine Street, and down what was at the time Dorchester Boulevard, René Lévesque. And Alex was always at the front, pedaling for kids, mm-hmm. with all the senior partners, and it was amazing, and this was great.
Saw the picture on the reel, with a huge smile, and everyone's
he
in
loved
bow ties.
It.
So iconic of his
Everybody
style.
Loved it. The other thing that I want to talk about is his involvement in, how should I say, the Canadian fabric.
Well, he was known as the Confederation Man.
That's it. But he took us back. These were heady times with the first referendum. He was involved with a group of people who were promoting federalism here in Montreal and around Quebec. And we would hire speakers, and we'd hire all sorts of interesting people who gave back their honorarium to help support, along with people at McGill University, Concordia University, and other secondary institutions. He later went on to really not only promote federalism, but to speak it in his daily life. And was interviewed often, and I interviewed him often because he represented the English community of Quebec. Later in his life, he was honored with the Order of Quebec. Of course, he had the Order of Canada, but the Order of Quebec was a great honor for him. And during the time when we had some pretty tense occasions where bridges were closed and where provincial highways were closed on the South Shore because of the Mohawk crisis, Alec became Robert Bourassa's private lawyer, and he represented the government of Quebec.
For the Oka crisis.
This was the Oka crisis. I spent 60 days in Oka and the Airport Hilton Hotel, where Alex was holding court. We were walking around in stockings because I was also staying there because these were the negotiations to end the crisis after, I think, 49 days. And it continued. And if you know the Airport Hilton, it's a circle. So you can walk this hallway, but it goes around in a circle. And we're walking around in our stocking and saying how ridiculous this whole situation was, that the Quebec government wasn't being truthful with the federal government, and the federal government wasn't being truthful, and nobody was being truthful with the Indians, and the Indians weren't being truthful. So this continued.
So where are we going to get?
But that's where I really got to know him.
That
before I moved next door. And then every occasion where there was a fundraiser, he would call me on the phone at CTV and says, Joe, we're doing this for the kids, and can you get a camera crew down here? Very worthwhile cause. So that was my introduction to Alex K. Patterson. And then they became dear friends. And when my own parents died, they were the only people from Knowlton who showed up at the funeral home to honor my parents. And Alec said, sit down. And this is what you got to do. And as a lawyer, he gave me the legal advice, sitting in his backyard drinking lemonade and saying, you got to do A, B, C, D. And these were the legal papers you have to get. He saved me hundreds and thousands of dollars in legal fees just by his kind advice. But he later, and Joni, became sort of parents in locus,
adoptive
parents. Because they were all saying, how you doing? We haven't seen you for a while. Just check in. And during the COVID crisis, I did the same for them. Check in, bringing them food and bringing them some other stuff. But I'll end there saying I can go on and speak more and more, and perhaps we can talk about when he was Chancellor at Bishop's, my experiences with him at Bishop's.
Yeah, we'll get to that for sure. It's amazing. The more I'm finding, he was just all about empowering other people. His values were ironclad, his reputation, personally, professionally. Just like, what a blessing to know this man. How did you see his role in your church or the community from your perspective, Tim?
Yeah, well, certainly his role in the church was quiet. I mean, a lot of what he did, it was, I suspect at one point there was an issue with a previous administration downtown, and I think very quietly he went behind the scenes and sorted a few things out.
Okay.
So that was kind of the thing. But one of the things that I've just, August 5th of last year, we knew that Alec had died, and then since then I sort of thought, oh gosh, we're going to have the funeral at our church. And
I see your face, yes.
Like, yeah.
This is big.
This is big.
This is
and
big.
So, you know, I took it on myself because if you come across my path and I feel that I pray for you every morning and every evening. So every morning and every evening, I was thinking about Alec's funeral. So many, it was just overwhelming. And just, I mean, all of these things and so many other things.
Right.
But, you know, I think the thing that I walked away from that I wish that I had said was that Alex loved his life.
Yes.
He loved every part of his life. It wasn't like he loved his weekends and so he lived for his weekend.
Mm-hmm.
No, he loved his family. He loved his work. He loved his volunteering. He loved a challenge.
Yes, yes, gathering that.
Yeah, and he loved, you know, sorting out a problem. And it's you know, there's every picture that you see of him. He has a huge smile on his face. He's just loving. He just loved his life.
And what a family man! Like four yeah. children, mm. a successful marriage, and then grandchildren, great yeah. grandchildren, and yep. adopted.
Yeah.
Children and extended yeah. family.
Yeah,
like,
us, what our life. Family too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm the beneficiary of knowing all his sons and his daughter who lived in Maine. He has two sons who were actors and directors, theater directors. One lived in Sweden and the other lived in Winnipeg. And his daughter lived in Maine. And Tim, who's closest, lived in Toronto. I got to know all these people. And whether it was Christmas, whether it was summertime, Joe, we're having a barbecue. Why don't you come over and have a swim in the pond and stay for our barbecue, stay for a glass of wine or a punch. In the wintertime, he would rent two sleds on Center Road.
Like snowmobiles?
No.
Oh, sleds.
Horses and sleds, wow. Like the 1800s. And he would invite me with my girlfriend and we would join everybody else. And then we'd have hot mulled wine. And then we'd all return to his home down the road from me. And it was very fortunate because I didn't have to drive. But he would pay for all of this. And it was such a great event. And I got to know his family even more. Mm-hmm. I just want to say one thing we haven't picked up on yet. Is the contribution to higher education.
Mm.
Alec was the president of the board of directors of McGill University, going through some difficult times, and they went through several presidents. Then came our former Governor General, David Johnson, who I was so fortunate to sit beside in the third pew here at St. Paul's unexpectedly.
For his celebration?
Yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
he gave the most impassioned, notes because he spoke from the heart. He put his papers away before he took a minute just to remove his papers.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Like, how many does he have there?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So much to say.
He spoke from the heart and he right. spoke about the love Alex had for people.
You're listening to the Township's Daily News Bits, and this is a memoir in tribute to the late Alexander Kennedy Patterson, featuring guests Joseph Singerman and Reverend Tim Weeb. Alex Patterson had deep ties to the Eastern Townships and the Brome Lake area, having had a country home in Knowlton, and he was very implicated in the community. Some may know him from his time investing and working with the Butters Home Foundation, the Adaptive Sports Foundation, of which he was president for some time, as well as being one of the founders of the Théâtre Lac Brome. Alex came to be known as a champion for the English-speaking minority of Quebec, and his implication at Bishop's University is undeniable. We continue here with the second part of this memorial.
But Alec, as chancellor, motivated everybody. And it was a time where the governments, various Quebec governments, were starting to cut back. So we had a lot of challenges, and we put our thinking caps on, and we did some amazing things, and that was thanks to Alec, who was our chancellor. There is now a university residence named Patterson Hall after him,
after
Alec and Joni. They were there for the unveiling and the unveiling of the plaque for Alec's contribution. And of course, he graduated in 1955, I think, and he continued to support the university with other people that were in his class. One last note on bishops.
Convocation?
1998?
Yes. Take us there.
Yes. Now, this was an amazing, another experience which I shall never forget and I will continue to talk about. Alec called me one night, just after supper, as usual, and he says, Joe, I got great news. I just spoke to Bishop Desmond Tutu. And this was during the time when he was part of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission after apartheid had ended in South Africa. And I invited him for an honorary doctorate. And he said he'll think about it. And he's just going to see if he can free up his very, very busy schedule. Well, sure enough, 2 weeks later, Joe, I got great news. Bishop Tutu is coming to Lenoxville. I said, that's fantastic. Well, it happened as Alec had planned. And Bishop Tutu gave the most impassioned speech. He had us laughing. He had us crying when he talked about the torture, the brutality of apartheid, especially upon women who were tortured, who were raped. And these were young students in the audience who were waiting to get their diplomas. But Bishop Tutu lifted our spirits. At the end of convocation, first he was led out by Alec, and all of a sudden the speakers in the auditorium started playing When the Saints Go Marching In. And Alec in his bow tie, Bishop Desmond Tutu in his convocation robes, wearing a doctorate collar, started dancing down the aisle When the Saints Go Marching In. It was like you were in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And then the faculty followed them out, and then the students who just got their diplomas powerful. Followed them out. It was magical. There's no other word, magical.
What I kept seeing and reading was how he was an amazing raconteur.
Oh, God, yes.
He was musically gifted, and he had a wild sense of humor yes. and wit.
And his laugh, he had a very strange laugh. Yeah. You can tell down the hall, that's Alec.
If I was to ask either of you, what did you learn from him, if you could kind of put something in a little capsule, something you'll keep?
I think certainly his inspiration to love every part of your life. To work, and that takes some doing, you know.
It does. You have to be active in it.
That's a real inspiration. Someone else, you know, I think Alec used to give people the opportunity to say no.
Mm.
And then you couldn't say no to Alec.
I'll let you try. But
you know, he gave Bishop Tutu the opportunity to say no. Here's a wild idea that he had. He said, well, give him the opportunity to say no.
But take the chance to ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Tim. Gratitude. But he taught me most of all the power of giving back to your community. Giving back to friends, saying thank you, and reciprocating in kind if you could, but if not in other ways. But he taught me through his work at the Mackay Center, and I knew about this years ago because he called me up before our friendship had solidified. He didn't know who I was. I had just returned from Ottawa, but he saw me on television, and he called me at the office and gave me some ideas, and I said this and that. And then I saw how he was involved with the Mackay Center and the results of his work, the expansion, and a new building and a new campus, the center for the Montreal Center for the Blind, always helping the unfortunate, and of course the Shriners Hospital, but always giving back. Of course, here in Knowlton, there are a lot of good deeds he did, both at St. Paul's and for the congregants and for the general Knowlton community, which I think he would probably prefer that we didn't discuss, because it was done confidentially to help okay. other people. Donations, arrangements, problem solving. But he did this of his own volition. He could spend the time by his pond with his feet up drinking a margarita. You know, he didn't drink margaritas. He liked scotch. So did I. But I think giving back to your community, treating others as yourself, and being kind. And I think having been invited to the memorial service, I left here, everybody said the same thing. All we heard about was kindness and love and the opportunity in life to give back to your community and to your fellow man. And I was deeply honored to participate, and Our pastor here gave a great, great celebration of life together with beautiful music and readings, along with his grandchildren, his children, the law firm, and the former Governor General of Canada.
What a man, what a life.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I think it kind of goes back to the sort of love one another for sure, but the way you gain your life, enjoy your life, is by giving it away. Mm. And one of the things that that the former Governor General said, David Johnson, was that Alex was up at 6 o'clock, and his day started at 6, and he volunteered from 6 until 9 o'clock. Then he was at the office from 9 until 6, and then he volunteered for another 3 hours. The other thing that was really interesting about what his boys said was that he was this busy, but they never ever felt like they were second class. I thought that was one of the amazing things.
He would put them on a bench and say, it's coffee time. But he would use that opportunity to have coffee in the park in Centerville, where he originally lived. Yeah. And let's talk. Let's talk about life. How's it going in school? How's it going in sports? Are you happy?
How's your relationship with God?
Well,
right?
Of course.
You're asking that. Yeah.
Yes, of course, of course.
The retailer.
Yeah. And then finding other opportunities with his children to just take the time individually, because there were four.
Right.
So they took you had to give time to all
life,
of them.
And you have, how did he have
but
time
he found the
be
time.
Present
yeah.
for everyone
he found
and
the
everything.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. So much we can gain and learn from his example.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't feel like they were sacrificed.
No.
Which
less
it
of
was,
a priority.
Yeah. That was extraordinary.
Wow. I keep saying wow.
I'm
just in awe.
Yeah.
In awe. Is there anything we want to close with?
Oh, I think I've said all I can say.
I saw the term le fun. It seemed like he just brought so much joy to everything and every moment.
Yeah.
And even if it was heavy, there was levity.
No. He used to walk down past my house to the post office box at the corner. And he would always stop, knock on the door, Saturday mornings mainly, unless he was on holidays, then it was more frequently and was fun. But I welcomed him, we had coffee, or we stood outside. And when I was out either washing the car or mowing the lawn, he would pull over and we talked for almost an hour. Because we had, and whether it was Quebec politics, he always started, what did you think about what Robert Bourassa said today to Pierre Trudeau, or Brian Mulroney, what Brian Mulroney was doing. You know, he was bouncing things off, and then, the conversation started on politics and ended up, well, why don't you come over for a glass of lemonade after it's hot. So that was, I have lost not only dear friends, him and Joni and their family, part of me here in Knowlton. Mm. It's been a lot lonelier. I can honestly say it's been a lot lonelier.
Well, there was certainly a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we focus on the gain, there's so much we could keep learning.
There was a great obituary done by, is it Janine Hodder?
Janine was our principal. What an amazing, amazing lady.
The last line, I think, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, but said he was a good man of such a kind that is rare. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
But
we lost a star.
Yeah. Just a quality human being.
Right.
Yeah. And I use this phrase, which was first enunciated by Bishop Desmond Tutu, and Alec would use it, and he would use it with me, and now I'm using it. So he's left me some other things. And Bishop Tutu stated that things will work themselves out in the fullness of time. And I always remember that. And when I go through struggles with clients in business, clients in some of the clients or some of the people I work with here in the community, or at some of the contractual work I do elsewhere. I think about the problems and that they'll work themselves out in the fullness of time, because we'll find the solution with a good exchange of ideas. So he left me with that one, but he would sign Christmas cards. He would sign all sorts of notes to me, emails, in the fullness of time.
Wow. Well,
and he'll be remembered in the fullness of time.
He will. Thank you for being part of this and sharing these stories and this beautiful tribute to a life well lived and one to be celebrated.
And Holly, thank you so much for taking the time to organize this and to do this for CIDI.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
That was Joseph Singerman and Reverend Tim Weeb and myself, Holly Bailey, sitting down to take a moment at St. Paul's Church and remember the life of a fabulous, extraordinary man, namely Alexander Kennedy Patterson. This was made possible through the Local Journalism Initiative funded through the Government of Canada. We leave you with a little tune here as a send-off to AKP in the fullness of time.
Don't back him up.